Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. Oh, glory to God. It seems like it's been over a month before we have come to this line. But I bless God, hallelujah, for this month of August. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. We thank and praise God. We say good morning to everyone that is on the line. We thank and praise God for our visionary, Dr. Laron Matthews, and the host of God's people everywhere. Good morning, administrator. Amen. Good morning, Pastor Aaron. Hallelujah.
Great morning.
Great morning. It is a great morning to me. Hallelujah. Alive and praise God, most of all. We thank and praise God. So we're going to allow Mother Sydney to come and pray before we get started this morning. Amen. Because I'm sure that God has something in store for us today. Amen. All right, Mother Sydney, it's in your hands.
Good morning, Dr. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Early this morning, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand touch. Thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to wake up, Lord God, when you touch us this morning. Lord God, we just want to glorify you and magnify you. As you prepare our day, Lord God, with morning manna, Lord God, we ask you today, Lord God, that you will grace us on the line. You will grace us in our room, in our home, wherever we are at, Lord God, with your presence, Lord God. We ask you to feed us until we won't no more. We want to be full to the overflow, Lord God, that we will never get empty, Lord God, that our water, that our thirst will never, we never thirst again, Lord God. And we thank you today. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision of the line, that you continue to empower him, that you continue to pour out your spirit upon him, strengthen him, Lord God, continue to dial your wisdom upon him in the ministry. Lord God, with Dr. Wilf, we thank and praise you, Lord God, that you have anointed her and prepared her for such a time as now for the young people, Lord God. Not only the young people, God, but even though there's a specialty in us, passion of hers, Lord God, but for all mankind, God. Lord God, as she go forth on today in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you allow your spirit to speak through her, Lord God, and let it come out of her belly, Lord God, like fire, Lord God, burning up the chaff, burning up every wickedness, Lord God, that's within the atmosphere, Lord God, every lurking spirit, every anaconda spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. This morning, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our young people. Yes, Lord, we thank you for our young people. Those are our children, God. Those are our generation, Lord God. You tell us to train them up in the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart, Lord God. The word is down on the inside of them, Lord God. Even when they stray away from you, Lord God, the word, Lord God, David said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Even though they're away from you, God, but that word, God, is down in them because it was put in them by the parents, by a guardian, by a mentor, or just by hearing the word of God, Lord God, through whatever facet that their ears are able to hear it, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for those that are listening on the Blog Talk Radio, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, that this word will reach the masses of them, God, will reach, Lord God, the first responder, Lord God. Lord God, our veterans, those that have given their life for our country, Lord God, those that are behind the prison walls, Lord God, nursing home, convalescent home, group homes, Lord God. Oh, God, sinners, Lord, juvenile detention, sinners, God. Lord God, let this word go forth on today, Lord God, in the atmosphere, Lord God. Lord God, we plead the blood of Jesus over the atmosphere, over this place, Lord God. Continue to bless, Lord God, Administrator Bryant, Lord God, and her family. Lord God, continue to strengthen her granddaughter, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you for them. We thank you for our children, Lord God, as you cover them, Lord God, every child, God, in the Oshakaya, God. You cover them with your blood. We cover their future. We cover their future, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, God. We'll find their angels to go with them throughout life, God, to comfort them, to teach them, to guide them, oh, God, and to protect them, Lord God, throughout their life, in the name of Jesus, even when they don't understand, God, even when they don't know, Lord God, even in their rebellions, God, in the Oshakaya, God, Lord God, let the angels of a living God that's assigned to their life be with them and cover them. Cover them, Lord God. We pray Psalms 91 over them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus because he's that balm in Gilead. We thank you for healing our land. We thank you for healing our temple, Lord God, in the Oshakaya, God, because our temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, in the Oshakaya, God, for healing of our temple, Lord God, those that are in the hospital, Lord God. Lord God, we send angels, God. I send angels, Lord God, to the hospital where my daughter D is at, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for continuing to raising them up, raising her up, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, in the Oshakaya, God. Lord God, that you're doing a new thing, Lord God. Lord God, that you're still healing, Lord God, because you said you were healed, Lord God. And Lord God, by your stripes, God, we already know that she's healed, God. And we ask you today, Lord God, for expedient healing, expedient closure of the wound, expedient, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Because, Lord God, we apply the blood of Jesus, Lord God, up over everyone that's in the hospital, Lord God. Oh, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, Lord God. Oh, God, send ministering angels, Lord God. Angels of comfort, Lord God. We pray for the bereaved family, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for the Hankerson and the McCain family. Lord God, on this day, Lord God. Lord God, you empower them. You uphold them, God. Lord God, you continue to uphold Bishop Hankerson, God, as he eulogized his father in love on today, Lord God. 18 days apart, Lord God, that he lost his wife and then he lost his father in love. But Lord God, you hold that family up in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we hold them up, Lord God. as Aaron and her held up Moses' arm, God. We hold that family up, Lord God. We hold him up, Lord God, as they lean on him, Lord God, in the Yoshikaya, God. Lord God, you got two angels, Lord God, holding him up, Lord God. Rock him in your bosom, in the Yoshikaya, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we put angels in camp around them, around their mind, God, in the Yoshikaya, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord God, as this morning we sit at the feet of Jesus, being ready to say it, being ready to be fed on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen, and to God be the glory.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to his word, submit to his call, and submit to his commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Morning again, hey everyone, hallelujah. Administrator, do we have any more announcements this morning?
God bless you, Evangelist Wilkes, and everyone that's listening on the line. Please keep in mind that if you're in the Harvey, Illinois area, Chicago, Illinois area on tonight, you can join Dr. Matthews at the First Pentecostal Assemblies International Church at 14559 South Green Street in Harvey, Illinois. That's on tonight. Dr. Matthews will be the guest speakers at 7 o'clock p.m. for the 57th church anniversary celebration. And also, starting this weekend, August the 7th through the 8th, to join and help celebrate Restoration and Truth Ministries, their 5th-year church celebration and the banquet. That's August 7th through the 8th. The banquet, formal banquet, will be on Saturday, August 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. And the tickets are $50 for the banquet. Sunday celebration will begin at 10 o'clock a.m. For more information, you can call 757-815-1226. Also, save these dates, August the 19th and the 20th, Dr. Matthews is on his way to Browns Mill, New Jersey, Pilgrim's World Gospel Ministries, 379 Lakehurst Road, where Pastor Benjamin Cole is the host pastor. Again, those dates are August 19th and the 20th. On the 21st, Dr. Matthews will be honored at the Black 2020 Black I Am Awards. Black Awards program. He's been honored at for his book, Love, the Unfinished Chapter, for the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. That's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, on August the 21st. If you would like to purchase your ticket, you can go to www.blackiamawards2021.evenbright.com. That's the only way you can purchase your ticket. September the 18th and the 19th, Dr. Matthews is on his way to San Antonio, Texas, hosted by Sister Tina Rice, Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love, the Lifestyle Hair Studios at 5520 Walden Road, Suite 102, San Antonio, Texas. For more information, call 726-444-0060. October the 1st, Dr. Matthews will be at the First Baptist Church in Loudoun, Alabama. That's the Black Belt, Central Alabama, where Pastor Willie D. Lewis is the pastor. October 2nd, he will also remain in the South Central Alabama area. October the 3rd, those dates and locations will be announced as well. October the 7th, Dr. Matthews is on his way to Baltimore, Maryland. Save the dates for October 29th, 30th, and the 31st for the Family Values Conference 2021. It's going to be in Harvey, Illinois. It's going to be a formal banquet on that Saturday night. And for more information, you can call 910-506-8770 for Pastor Sandra Ganey, or you can call the local ministry at 708-825-1988. God bless you, Evangelist Wilkes.
Amen. Woo.
Lord.
It is soon, Dr. Mecca.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to give him a mobile home or something.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God. Hallelujah. For all of those engagements. Amen. My God, my God. Well, this is Friday, the first Friday of the month. Amen. And God has something in store for us. But we always, the first Friday, we dedicate this to our youth. Amen. For them to come and ask their questions or make comments or statements and say whatever they have in their heart. We never want to stagnate any of them. Youth leaders, you are also invited to ask your questions. So if you are listening in on the blog side, you're able to put the comments or the questions in the chat room. Or you can press 1 on the dial of your phone, and you will go into the queue. And an administrator will let us know that you're there. Also, if you want to, you don't want to be audible, regardless of if you're on the international side or if you're on the conference line, you can text 334-440-6152, 334-440-6152. I just want to give a shout-out to all of my youth, amen, that I know school is starting back, amen, and I want you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. I know many of you get up before you go to school and you listen in. Hallelujah. So we cover you in by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. This full year, glory to God, that you will be prosperous in your studies. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. That you will be diligent. Hallelujah. In doing the things that God will have you to do to excel in your studies. Amen. We bless God, hallelujah, for a greater outcome, a greater, hallelujah, school year for you. I'm prophesying this over your life on today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, send thine anointing upon the vessels, oh God, whether they're far or near, Lord Jesus. I pray right now, hallelujah, Lord, that you would do a work inside of them, Lord. Cause them to come forth, oh God, with wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that they did not obtain from themselves, but through the leading of your spirit, oh God, and with them studying, oh God, hallelujah, you will hire before the you will excel them, oh God, and give them favor, Lord God, in the classroom, oh God, with the teachers, oh God. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Keep them, oh God, covered, oh God. Let no incidents or accidents happen to them, Lord. Keep them from danger, seen and unseen, going to and from the schools, oh God. We thank you right now, even those that are studying virtue, Lord. I'm asking right now in the name of that they would not, oh God, stay up late at night, oh God, on games and watching television, oh God, or on the internet, Lord. But they, Lord God, would also be prosperous, oh God, in their studies, Lord. Lord God, that they will excel, Lord, even in the virtual environment. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah. Cover them, cover them, cover them, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. And, oh God, those that struggle, Lord God, those that struggle, oh God, and have, oh God, some type of, oh God, learning disability, Father, I ask right now, Lord, that you do a turnaround in their life. Lord, move over their brain waves, oh God. Lord God, cause their mindset, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, to line up with your spirit, Lord, and allow them to advance, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Whatever struggles that they have, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, if they have test anxiety, oh God, they're not able to read clearly or understand clearly, oh God. Lord, you, oh God, anoint them, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord, to become better, Lord. Ah, glory be to God. Man does not have the final say-so, oh God. And all of those that have been diagnosed with ADHD, all of that other stuff, Lord, I know that you are a God that can heal them. In the name of Jesus, you can, oh God, arise and the enemy can be scattered and you will make the crooked straight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, administrator. Hallelujah. Good morning, Pastor Aaron, to you. Great morning, man of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you want to encourage the young people before we get into the questions this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Most definitely. And great morning. Because, you know, even as I was preparing myself, you know, for, you know, this morning, you know, and I mean, I do have, you know, something, you know, I always try to keep something on hand, you know, the, you know, I can work off and, you know, but, I was debating. I'm like, you know, should I listen to the questions first? Would that determine, you know, how I'm going to go forth or, you know, but I do want to say most definitely for the youth, you know, me being a millennial, and I was sharing with my oldest brother, I said, you know, even though, you know, I'm a millennial, you know, I'm age-wise, I'm more, you know, closer to the Gen Z. So I can kind of relate to them more, even though, you know, I was raised, you know, differently, you know. But I said, you know, I want to, you know, encourage, you know, our millennials and then, you know, also to encourage the, you know, the Gen Z, the next generation, you know, about one thing about being expressive. That's something I've always struggled with, you know, other than me teaching, I express better when I teach, but as a person, I don't express, but I was, you know, sharing with some people, I said, I noticed that this Gen Z, and I pray you don't become offensive to this, I said, man, they are an emotional bunch. But I wasn't saying it in a matter of, you know, disregarding, you know, them or disrespecting them. I was saying, you know, but I like it because they are more open, you know. So I do want to say that, you know, even to the parents, if there are any parents on here or, you know, to the Gen Z or millennials, that, you know, please have an ear to listen because especially the Gen Z, they are our generation. They're going to pretty much walk into the next thing of our generation. They're going to walk into, they are the future, more to say. Even down to us millennials, you know, we're still a part of the future. And I want to encourage us, if there's something that y'all want to do, more so in the positive light now, I'm not encouraging people to go off and start a riot because I know these past 2-3 years, and especially those of, you know, of black culture, you know, a lot of us are really angry, and more than angry, a lot of us are really disappointed, you know. But I want to encourage y'all that there's nothing wrong with being angry or disappointed, but you truly determine how this our future is going to be. You know, I mean, which we know in a spiritual sense, yeah, we leave it to God. We let God have his way. But, I mean, when it comes down to domestic lives and the things we see in our economy and the things we see, you know, from a political standpoint or social standpoint, you know, I want to encourage y'all, if there's something that y'all want to see change, you know, you be that change, you know, even in your community, you know. You know, I'm a believer that, you know, it doesn't necessarily take a politic to change what goes on in your community, because a politician has no power without the people. You know, I'm not trying to even turn to a political debate or rant, but I'm just saying that, you know, even down to consumer goods, when you go to buy stuff, let's say we all stop buying Jordan. What Jordan gonna have to do? They're gonna eventually go out of business because, you know, that's who, especially our culture, that's who's buying the Jordans, that's who's buying the Tims, that's who's buying the Air Forces, you know, all these different things. So, you know, you, as an individual, you may not believe that you have so much power or you can do but so much, but I really want to express this, and I'm gonna say this, the spirit of likeness, you know, that God has given us. So if we all decide, we may not agree on everything, But if we all decide to hold fast on one thing, we can make it happen. Because, I mean, if you hold fast to violence, it's only when it's something negative we hold fast to. When we hold fast to violence, that, you know, everybody, people getting hurt, innocent people getting involved. But, you know, when are we going to decide to hold fast on to something positive? You know, I personally, I go out in my community, and I was thinking to myself, I said, God, there's more that I want to do. You know, I want to be able to go and spark the minds in the spirit of community in our future generation. I go out about every week as much as we can with our youth. You know, these are babies. I mean, I remember them from the time they were babies. I was, you know, in high school, I grew up doing community. You know, I mean, I felt like it all the time, but we kept that same stature of going out and serving the need. So if you're saying that, you know, your need is that our children, they don't have no father, you know, then, you know, I would say that as men, you know, we must pull together and create a community where even if their natural father is not involved, these children have father-like figures. They have role models. You know, only have, you know, one natural child, but, you know, even down to people that's a few years younger than me, and even as my role as a pastor now, you know, and those who call me pastor, I instantly see them, you know, and I still respect them no matter whether it's age or group or gender. I still respect them, you know, as a y'all. But mentally, it's like, you know, I see, you know, it's a matter of fatherhood, you know, to them, you know. So, you know, I think, you know, I truly believe that, and I've seen that if there's a lack in your community, there's a lack in this generation or whichever generation, that it can be made up, but we have to come up, we have to have the mindset, and it's not that we don't have it, you know, we have to become more aware, you know, and that's something I was going to talk about today, but I'm not going to get into it right yet. I'd rather just, you know, hear what the questions are, because I truly believe that whatever questions, comments, or concerns, that might push what I've already have, you know, in front of me. But I want to go ahead and mention this, that we have to become more aware of what's going on. And I think that was something that domestically a lot of us have lacked, even as parents. You know, I'm a father, and even though me and my son are pretty much around each other 24/7, you know, I have to become more aware of, okay, what his personal needs are. I have to become aware, okay, what needs attention to and what I need to correct in a sense. You know, I gotta be able to discern. You know, I can't just bring Pastor Aaron to my son. I have to be father when dealing with my son. I have to, you know, in society we have many caps. We have, you know, not cap in the cultural sense we say now, but many hats, I'll say. We take off different titles because on our job place, we might just be an average employee, or we might be a superintendent. But in our homes, you know, your son, your daughter, you know, father, mother, grandson, you know, granddaughter, you're something different. So we're something different in our society in more ways than one. But even despite all these variety of changes, variety of things, if we hold fast to doing or accomplishing one thing, I know that we can do it, I'm not trying to make it a race thing, but I do want to encourage those of our black community, because I know a lot of us are angry. A lot of us have, you know, even those who may have gotten over it, but a lot of us face times of disappointment. You know, we have moments where we feel that we cannot express how we feel, but that's what I was saying about a lot of these Gen Z. I said for us millennials, we're kind of coming out a little bit better with expressing how we feel or how we felt, you know, where we had to bottle up stuff, you know, because I was, you know, I raised old school, you know, you just get over it, you had to suck it up. But these kids, we might say, yeah, they whine a lot, they complain a lot, they got it good. You know, why not them have it good? Now, I'm not a person that cares people crying for nothing, but when we look at the world that we're in now, we look at the world that we're living in now, you know, we may be comfortable sometimes in our own homes, but once we step out the door, we are facing a real world where anything can happen. And it would make sense that they would be upset about why is it like that, because I know God did not intend for us to live, you know, and see and witness a lot of things that we're witnessing, you know. But that's just from the fall of man and from accumulation of sins and stuff like that. You know, that's what affects us spiritually, and it manifests in the natural. But I know that we can counter that if we stick on one accord, you know. So I do want to encourage, you know, whether you're, you know, a millennial, Gen Z, Generation X, you know, baby boomers, anything even before that, you know, because sometimes we need our elderly not to be stuck in their ways, but we need them to give us wisdom and knowledge. I think we're now in a place where we're kind of going back to a place where we're willing to listen. You know, and I see these Gen Z kids, you know, because they're easily able to express, they're also a little bit more easier to receive. That's what I've seen, that they receive a little bit better because they're able to express more. You know, so I want to just keep encouraging that spirit of receiving. Y'all keep receiving, keep listening, you know, because even if you may feel that knowledge is not pertaining to you, there's a generation that's going to come after you who may need it. You know, I may not have to see certain sufferings in which my great-grandparents saw, but that knowledge could still be passed down to me because, you know, we must learn from our past. And even from certain mistakes, we got to learn so that we can progress as a people, you know, even as the Christian body. You know, I believe in progression. I personally want to see progression. And, I know that's a way in which God has wanted us to live in the spirit of progression. Don't sit there and be in depression or oppression or aggression, but move in the spirit of progression. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over. I mean, if there's any questions or stuff after that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back to the woman of God. But that's what I want to see. Father's encouragement at this time, you know, for our youth and even down to our elderly, because y'all still matter, you know. I'm going to share this one last thing, and I promise I'm going to turn it over until, you know, something else. But as we go in such a community, we serve the elderly a lot. And you see it on them that a lot of them feel that they have been abandoned, you know. And they, I mean, you know, the excitement is not about them receiving free food, but it's the fact that somebody thought about them. So I want to encourage our elderly, if there are any on this line, or if they may come back and come across this recorder, that I have not forgot about y'all. We have not forgotten about y'all, you know. So y'all please stay encouraged, because we, in this time, we need y'all more than ever, too. It ain't just about our youth being the upcoming thing, but we need all of our pools and groups of people to be on one accord. You know, we may not be able to intake everything that's being said or done, but if we can keep a mindset to focus on that, and I say spirit of progression, you know, that we want to progress. You know, I can't stand that crab in the barrel mentality. You know, I dare not pull somebody down because I'm feeling down. You know, so I've seen that in some elders, not all, but I've seen that in some. You know, and we see it. That's kind of thinning down now. That I've seen, that I'm witnessing. This, you know, as it comes from my, after, you know, through my generation and through the next generation, you see that crab in the barrel mentality is dying. But, you know, still, you want to, it's some negative things, you know, I want to see wiped out completely. And, I mean, even if I don't see it, I want my son, you know, I want, you know, his generation. I want, you know, for our generation and most definitely for our culture to be able to walk in confidence. We go out our doors, we ain't got to worry about somebody snuffing out your life. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about somebody trying to, you know, get in your way because you want to be something positive. You know, I want to get rid of that spirit of self-destruction that has been implanted in our black culture. You know, you don't see too many other cultures destroying themselves the way that we see black culture do. And I that's something I'm really learning to become more of an advocate for my culture, my people. You know, I don't want to see us destroying ourselves, you know, because we see, you know, it's in our face, and that's all we think to do. You know, I was learning something, you know, doing some study on some stuff yesterday, and this thing is called trained helplessness. You know, and you know, that handicapping, you know, you self-handicap. You know, I don't want us to no longer self-handicap, live in a place of trained helplessness. We feel we can't get out unless somebody, you know, come and pull us out. You know, but if we stay on one accord, we can make it out together. We can all do it. It don't matter about the age, race, or gender, but I'm just talking about, you know, our black culture in particular. Amen. Now I'm going to go ahead and turn it over.
Amen. All right, people of God, we thank and praise God for Pastor Aaron this morning. Hallelujah, expressing his heart. Glory to God. I want to thank all of you since the last time we have been live on the broadcast. I just want to thank everyone for well wishes, my birthday and my anniversary. Thank you for, again, I count it an honor and a privilege that God has allowed me to still be in the land of the living to serve the people of God. Certainly it's not by my might nor by my power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. And that is what, you know, the purpose of my being. I can't speak for everybody else, but it's the purpose of my being that I do the will of God. So with that being straight, I know I saw your text, but since then, have we got any questions from the chat room or on text?
Yes, there is one question that came in. The question is, why is it so hard for African-American parents to show compassion and love and listen to teenagers of today?
Oh, can I? Is it okay for me to answer that?
Well, you can go ahead, but I'm going to give a spiel because we know that I lived in a different generation. But I want you to understand when I comment, before Pastor Aaron comments, that I'm not coming at you, as my cousin said, don't come for me. I'm not coming for you. I do have grandchildren from the age of 1 to the age of 18. My adult children is from the age of 25 to the age of 39. So when I got a wide spread from 1 to 39 that I deal with on a day. All right. Woo, hallelujah, glory to God. So go on here, Pastor Aaron, then I'm going to give the oldest generation spiel.
All right, okay, and I appreciate that because, I mean, being that we are from two different generations, then I know that can help, you know, a mass multitude of people. So I do want to say this, that, you know, oftentimes, you know, when we say it's hard to express compassion, you know, in one way, we as a black culture, we express compassion, you know, not a lot of times non-verbally. So that one thing that can be a kind of like a misconception. But I can also understand that because when I was a child, it wasn't that we was always receiving hugs or always hearing "I love you." Now we heard it. And sometimes we got hugs and stuff like that, but it was not all the time. You know, I had to come to the terms, even I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, that my mother is 5 of us 7. She has 5 of us, you know, and that a lot of that time, she spent the majority of that time being a single mother. And there's 5 of us with all with different needs, you know. So with her being a single mother, meaning that she had to, of course, work. So, of course, you know, and I'm learning now that when you in a place of you have multiple children, and, which I don't, but, I you know, from, you know, listening and, you know, really paying attention to others, that, you know, I'm gonna come from 2 points when I'm after this. I say this here, that once you come out of that work realm and you go home, once you go home, you kind of look to relax and recline. But simply all she can do is, of course, you're gonna have to, you know, gonna have to cook, gonna see that we eat, you know, or that we ate. At least till my oldest brother was of age where he became, you know, more self-sufficient. So, of course, that kind of lessens the burden, but there are still other domestic things that a parent, you know, especially, you know, that a parent has to deal with. You know, and I mean, you know, you got to think about it. My mother is, you know, kind of came from that generation of not, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say that she's that old now, but, you know, her parents came from that generation of, you know, segregation and stuff like that. So, of course, that has accumulated in a little bit in her generation. So, of course, you have to have the burden of one where she's a single black mother at that. It's not about just being a mother, but now she's a single black mother. So you have to deal with these different cultural things that might stifle you from even succeeding or being successful. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of see it a little bit now. It's not as bad as it was before because, like I said, we're progressing. But a lot of stuff is learned behavior. You know, for those who don't know, my mother is Pastor Sandra Ganey. You know, I know you probably all heard her share her testimony that she experienced the spirit of rejection from birth, but she didn't feel it until the age of 4. And it took her, I think really she said 30 or 34 years for God to finally release that off of her. By the time she was, you know, 30, 34, you know, I was already here up on the scene, you know. So, of course, things that we don't want to put our children through, we inadvertently put them through. It's not that we do it intentionally. But, of course, you know, of course, all of our needs are not going to be attended to. All of our needs may not even feel met, you know, with the exception of having clothes, food, water, you know, pretty much the essential. But the emotional oftentimes gets neglected. Now, that's my first point. Now, I'm going to say this, but you know what I'm saying, because I'm trying to learn to be more linear about our parents from the generation before mine. You know, and with me also being a parent, because I'm seeing certain habits that I picked up, you know, even down to my father. Even though my father, I know my father is, he was not really present, you know, but I could always say my father was pretty laid back and he was nonchalant. But see, with my father being laid back and nonchalant, it made him negligent. So even though I'm around my son 24/7, I in turn become somewhat negligent because I may not want to address the same things he wants to address at times because I'm busy being nonchalant, you know. That's my second point. I'll make one last point. You know, and I said it before, this, a lot of this stuff is kind of like learned behavior. You know, you don't realize you're doing something because it takes, this might be the time to bring up, you know, once again, the word awareness. You know, a lot of times we're not aware of what we are. It takes an outside force or interference for us to for awareness to even be created. You know, a person won't really know they're doing something wrong until you point it out and say, man, you know, you got a habit of doing something, doing X, Y, Z, you know. And so, of course, you know, some people may be in denial of it. Like, man, what you talking about? I don't do that. So even if you address a parent, you know, my mother had to, you know, even she had to share, even her sister speak, that when we address a certain things, when we got a, you know, teenage age where we can have what we call family meetings, we address some things. You know, we told her, you know, what we felt, you know, and how we felt about it and why we believe what we believe. And, of course, you know, even though it may have hurt her, it still was needed because it allowed her to become aware of our present situation as a family. So that allowed us to progress, you know. So I do want to encourage parents, please listen to your children, because I have come from an era of where, you know, we bottled stuff up. You know, we bottled stuff up for so long that when it comes out, it comes out nasty. It comes out, and it took a whole lot to express stuff. I mean, I can say because of the grace of God, now I'm able to express stuff and keep it pushing. Well, at one point, I couldn't do that. It would take a whole build-up for me to formulate my thoughts and express myself. So I do want to encourage the youth, keep expressing yourself. I want to encourage the parents, you know, to listen to your children, but also understand that children, your parents may not always be able to satisfy that need or that want at that time. And I'm also saying need because I do understand that affection is needed. It's very much needed. You know what I'm saying? And I know because children need it, but I felt it wasn't necessary because I got used to not having it. And, you know, it took me some years. Like, if somebody would have come and hugged me some years ago, even especially, I mean, you never know a family, you know, I would, you know what I'm saying? Even hearing somebody say, I love you, I just got used to saying, I love you, you know, to people, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, you know, you didn't hear it a whole lot. And, you know, as a child, man, you know, it was believed you didn't have no problem. Because our parents were taught they didn't have no problems, you know, and you know, so it's a learned habit. And I want to, and that's the last thing I'm gonna say. And I know I keep saying it, but I apologize. That's the last thing I'm gonna say. You know, you gotta think about where we as African, and not Africans, but as African Americans have come from. We have endured hundreds of years of slavery. We've endured years of segregation and oppression. So you gotta know, you gotta understand that. A lot of that stuff, even if, you know, my mother probably didn't see it, that stuff has traveled into her DNA. So, you know, come on, you got to think about it. In the mindset of a slave, they couldn't complain about nothing, really. There's nothing to complain about. It was the average. It was their life. So, of course, as we push forward to the future, there are certain things that are taught. You know, you don't need to talk about oppression or depression. That's just the way it is. You've got to get over it. You know, you got to understand that our culture, we have been really put through some fire, you know, really tested. And we just had to learn to adjust. So that mentality is still hanging around. I honestly see it like almost like the size of a gnat. But a gnat, don't you realize that one gnat can attract so much attention? But yeah, but I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over. That's why I wanted to go ahead and express that right there.
Amen. All right, before the mother of me come out, we have, hallelujah, my big brother, amen. It's been a while. He's gonna come and make a comment. Come on in, Prophet Dwayne Woods, amen.
Amen. God bless everybody this wonderful morning. If you can give me that question that the young teenager had asked, can you give me that again?
Administrator.
Well, I'm just talking the phone. Why is it so hard for African American parents to show compassion and love and listen to teenagers today?
Now, that's a good question. Being a father of a 30-year-old, a 25-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 20, and a 16-year-old, I find myself two boys and three girls. So my three girls are 21, 20, and 16. I believe one of the hardest things for us as African Americans, you know, I don't even want to say African Americans, just a people in general. When you have yet to have received that, when you were the age that you are, it's hard for us to give that to you all. Now, one of the things that I do with my children is that I allow them to express themselves. It was a time where my voice was the law. That was it. I don't want to hear nothing else. That's it. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is where it's going to be. That is totally wrong. That's totally wrong, because y'all are some young, inquisitive-minded people that your voice are just as important as my voice. It's just the way that you use your voice compared to where I use mine. So my daughters talk to me, and I allow them to express themselves in a proper way, you know, because one way, you don't want to come to me the wrong way, because I'll shut it down. It's how you approach your parents and allow your parents to be open with you. I'm very open and very transparent with my children. I allow them to be the young adult and the young teenagers that they are. And as far as the emotional side, some of us parents, because of how we were raised, it affects those who now we're raising, because it's a generational thing that happens in our, and not just our culture, but just all around. I wasn't raised with a father, so I didn't know how to teach my sons how to be a man. It was hard for me. One episode was this. I'm going to say this real quick. My son was hit a flat tire, and he said, "Dad, I got a flat tire." I said, "Okay, go out there and change it." Well, 30 minutes went by. Then an hour went by. So then I go outside to see what's going on. I said, "Man, what's taking you so long to change the tire? I mean, the thing goes right there on the boat. Turn it and let's get this done." He stood up and said, "I don't know how to do it because you was never there to teach me." Now, parents, because we work so hard to try to be providers, we lose the very contact with our children because we're so focused on making sure you got Nikes, making sure you got food on the table, making sure the bills are paid, that we lose the emotional side of what you need, because we're looking at being providers, and we lose the actual contact with y'all. It's wrong. But see, when we're at that place, we don't know how to balance sometimes. And sometimes our focus is more on the providing and not being the nurturer that we're supposed to be. And so I had to tell my son, "Look, I apologize. I'm sorry." And then I thought about it. Well, my dad was never there for me. My mom had to work, so I didn't get a lot of things that I should have gotten. So I learned a lot of my stuff from the streets. Was it right? Well, at the time, that's all that grew me was the streets. And what we're trying to do as parents now and staying on this platform is to prevent y'all from running to the streets, to let you know that there is somebody in your neighborhood that will love you. There's somebody in your neighborhood that will show you everything that you need. There's somebody in your community that will not really take the place of your parents, but actually show you, "Hey, there's a better way of doing this, so let me show you." And so this is the reason why that there's so much evasiveness in what we do. We don't know how to do it because it wasn't shown to us. We don't know how to show you the love that you need because it wasn't shown to us the love that we needed at the particular time. And so now you have, like I said before, a generational things that's going down the generational line, the ancestral line, because your mother's mother didn't teach her. Her mother's mother didn't teach her to teach her. And so here we have just a bunch of stuff that has now gotten out of hand, and we now don't even know how to handle it when it's even in our own home. And so I tell my children, my door is always open. I don't have a problem with saying I'm sorry, because I didn't know how to respond in that manner. And so if I hurt my daughter's feelings and I see it, guess what I do as a father? I go back to them. I say, "Hey, Daddy dropped the ball on that one. Please forgive me." And then we sit and talk about the situation. And that's what needs to go on in homes. It needs to be more communication between sons and fathers, mothers and daughters, daughters and fathers and sons and mothers. We need to have that type of open communication where if I offended my daughter or if I offended my son, I'm man enough to say, hey, son, hey, dad, hey, daughter, dad dropped the ball on that one. Please forgive me. Whereas times past, our parents wasn't apologizing. Our parents wasn't saying I'm sorry for how they treated us. But now this generation that we have now coming up, we got to be more open to your mindset. We got to be more open to your feelings. We got to be more open to how you're doing and make sure that we check on you instead of saying, hey, I paid the bills. I got food in the house. You got clothing on your backside. We should be more saying, hey, how's school go today? Did somebody ever touch you in the wrong way? Matter of fact, come here, baby. Let me show you some love. I kiss my daughters every day on the forehead. Daddy, love you. I let everybody, when I answer them, hey, baby, how you doing? So we got to get back to that. And if your parents are not doing that and if they're listening, hey, be open to them and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, this is some stuff that I'm lacking from you. Do you think that you can work on this? Do you think you can be open to hear what I have to say as a young adult? That's my take on it. God bless you, young generational mindset of people. May God continue to bless you. May God open you up so that you can feel not neglected to go to your parents and say, mom, dad, please help me in this area. I need your help, and I need you now. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Prophet Dwayne Woods. Amen. Good to hear your voice.
God bless you, too.
Amen.
Good to be heard, sis. Love you. Love you much. God bless you, Minister Aretha Bryant. God bless you, young brother who was talking earlier.
Pastor Aaron.
Amen.
Okay, God bless you, Pastor Aaron.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
All right. This is what I'm going to do from the mother's field that does not make it across the board for everybody, but it does fit for the majority. I agree with what has been said, that many of the times that the parents, especially the mothers, if they're trying to get cooking, cleaning, and all of that other stuff done. But if the young people, the person, are not getting the love, and I can understand where you're coming from, I want to take a different approach than what the male factors have brought this morning. When I was growing up and I was a teenager, I thought my father did not love me because he was not a person to come and say, I love you. Well, if he did, I don't remember it. I'll put it that way. He wasn't a huggy-huggy type of person, and he was right there in the house, but it felt like he wasn't in the house. I didn't understand my father because I didn't take the time to learn him or to understand the role that he was in. It wasn't until, and it was one of the evangelists that I know, she invited me to a service. And when I heard her father talking about Bishop Sanders and Sandra Taylor, she would talk about her father was talking. And when he was saying something, this may have been about 5 years ago. It was like something just fell on me. I mean, I didn't understand. The light came on. Here I am over 50 years old, and I'm really replaying when I was a child. Thing that goes with my mother is dead and gone now. But I had to look at and examine their way of showing love because maybe how they were growing up was different as well. But when I had my children, now my children and I are very close. The only ones that distance themselves is mostly the ones that try to stay out there in trouble. And that's my oldest and my youngest. the two middle ones, which is about 30, 37 and the 35-year-old, they're more close to me than 39-year-old and my 25-year-old. Nevertheless, my 25-year-old, she's the closest, and she's the one that lives here in town. And I'm always trying to talk to her. And I'm listening to her talking about, I need counseling and all that. And I want to bust out so bad to say, you was getting counseling and you didn't listen to it. But I don't say that. I want to. I need counseling. I'm all messed up in the head. And I'm saying to myself while she's talking, you were given wise counsel. You did not take it. And now you listen to everybody else and got you all mixed up and messed up instead of the counsel and with the wisdom given. So what am I saying is, young people, whether you're in a single-parent home or a two-parent home, the mother and the father, take the time to study your parents. I'm saying this for a reason. If your mom and dad being a good provider and they're not abusive to you, and they're not saying this, how about you show you love? I said, well, you can call me Mother Wilkes right now. Well, Mother, how are you going to do that? There's nothing wrong with you taking a pen, a crayon, a piece of chalk, pencil, some paint, something, and a piece of paper. Fold it in half, draw something on it, and write, I love you for you. You don't know how that will break the ice or change the atmosphere to get the response that you are needing. Had I known this when I was growing up, I believe I was an emotional wreck. And the reason why I said I was an emotional wreck, because I wanted my parents to show me love, and I was the oldest child. And I didn't get the love that I wanted because I was the oldest child, and it was a lot of us. And so we heard Dr. Matthews talk about his testimony and his mother have raised many children. And he said he became the conduit, let's put it that way, to be able to allow mother to do what she needed to do while he was trying to help mother show the love and everything to the other's children or they get what they need. But what I'm saying, whether your family is small, medium, or large, sometimes the parents, they can be at fault. They get too busy moving around. But it's important that this is a two-way street. When you give love, sometimes you don't receive it back. But that does not stop you from loving. And so I want to tell you, I showed love for my children in various ways. I wanted to make sure that they had a They didn't get everything. I'm not, and leave it to the day, I'm not one to buy Nikes, Jordans, or none of that. I told them when they was growing up, they said, Mom, why you don't never buy no name brand stuff? I said, because you know what? I can get y'all what y'all need and not what you want. They didn't understand it then, but guess what? Because I spoke to them, I talked to them, and when they come now, they said, now I understand. I hear my children, my adult children tell their children that, oh, my mama was this and blah, blah. I said, oh, okay, so you did learn something from that. I'd be laughing because it's funny to me now.
time to study your parents. Whatever home that you live in, if it's not your parents, whoever your caregiver is, grandma, auntie, uncle, grandpa, whoever it is, mom and them, that's the thing. You know, take time to learn them. And once you learn their personality, you will find out a lot of those traits are inside of you. But they're like, again, there's nothing wrong with you igniting the fire by taking a piece of paper or a card and write something and start giving it to them. It don't have to be every day. You get up in the morning and change the atmosphere. Say, good morning, Mom. I love you. Good morning, Dad. I love you. And they'd be like, where did this child get this from? Because you change it. And then you would be surprised the response of how they change. Certain things that my children have said to me, I was like, and I'm like Prophet Woods. It sparks and it unites something inside of us. So I don't think it's so much that it's hard to express love or show love. Because my husband is not a talkative person. He spoke a lot about what I hear him talk about, him and his brother, a couple weekends ago when we were driving to South Carolina. I'm listening to him and his oldest brother, who was 84 years old. My husband is 60. And now I heard them talk about their dad. It was nothing good. But when I heard them talk about their ma, it was a whole different story. And so I was like, Lord Jesus, I hope that my children don't say these things about me. But we have to learn. Learn, learn, learn. If you hear nothing else that I say today, learn, study your parents. Learn their personality. Find a way that you can bridge that gap as a young person to better your relationship with your parents. This is my final thing before we go to the next question. If you are working, you're a young person that is working, sometimes take your parent on a date. Say that again. Sometimes take your parent on a date. Mom, Dad, can I make a date with you? And if you're not working, still make a date for them. Even if you have to cook some pancakes, pop them in the microwave or whatever. Use the tools that is accessible to you to make a date with your parents. And you plan out how you want to spend time. Quality time. We have 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but make it happen. Even if you have to scrape up a dollar to get an ice cream, to split the ice cream in half. I'm being comical, but I'm serious. Make a date with the parent. Now, that's my take on the question. Administrator, give us a commercial. We're going to come back. And for more questions, comments this morning.
Amen. Oh, man, it looks our system is back. Oh, here it is. It's back up.
Okay.
What was that?
Get ready for the ultimate conference. The ultimate conference. The Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love Conference.
Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love.
1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. It happens live September 18th and 19th, 2021. The Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love Conference. Live at the Lifestyle Studio. The Lifestyle Studio. 5520 Walsham Road, number 102. San Antonio, Texas. Get ready for miracles to flow. This epic two-day event kicks
kicks off Saturday, September 18th from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Sunday, September 19th from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. Your dynamic guest speaker, Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Senior Pastor, Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, Harvey, Illinois. Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love, September 18th and 19th. Your illustrious hosted for this two-day event, Mrs. Gina Rye. Conference hotel accommodations are provided by the Holiday Inn Express and Suites San Antonio North, 8204 North IH-35, Windcrest, Texas. Call to make reservations at area code 210-654-3800. September 18th and 19th, 2021. Bridging the Gap and Birthing the Love. The Conference. Live at the Lifestyle Hair Studio in San Antonio, Texas. Start preparing now and make plans to be there.
The book is now available.
The book is now available.
The ultimate read. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents Love, the Unfinished Chapter. The brand new read by Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. It's available now. Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. presents Love, the Unfinished Chapter with a very special foreword by the late great Bishop Rance Allen. Available now. You can purchase your book at WeRestoreU.org.
That's WeRestore, the letter U.org.
On Amazon.com. Or you can call area code 708-825-1988.
Area code 708-825-1988.
For an autographed copy, order from WeRestoreU.org. Order today. Get ready to enjoy the latest from Prophet Dr. LaRon Matthews, Ph.D. Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Order your copy today.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. All right, Administrator, is there any more questions?
No more direct questions, Evangelist Wilkes. However, we do welcome everyone that's listening in the chat room on this morning. And one of the young men said, good to hear your voice, Prophet Woods.
Amen. It is good, and I agree with him. Amen. I want to also, that question kind of aligns with the scripture that I had this morning to bring. And one of them, I'm going to read it right quickly, these two passages of scripture. And it's sort of in the line. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's the key right here. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then I want to reach and get Genesis to number 32. And then there. And then I want to read verses 24 and 25. It might sound kind of crazy, but just listen up for a minute. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He wrestled with him. What I want to say, that this thought had fell in my heart the other day, stop wrestling with that thing. That's the topic he gave me. Stop wrestling with that thing. And the question was answered this morning. We have a lot of things inside of us that we wrestle with. When we take it to the Lord, we still wrestle with it. That's why we're supposed to cast it upon him. We don't have to wrestle with certain things when we give it to God. Because if we keep wrestling with it, we're going to be out of joint. We're going to be out of sync. We're going to be out of posture. A thing will cause us to be handicapped. A thing, that we're wrestling with because we're not giving it to God and allow him to direct us, we will be out of sorts. That's the best thing I can say. So I just want to encourage the young people this morning, if you have some issues that you've been holding on to, rest of the time, well, I've been praying, Ben Will, Mother Will, Dr. Will, whatever title that you call me, make sure that you are totally turning that thing loose. Find a godly, trustworthy individual that can help you get through what you're going through. That's why we have this line. You can come to us with any type of questions or any kind and ask for it. You don't have to wrestle with stuff and be stressed out. Don't be stressed out when somebody has been through. You've been saying nobody been through all of this. I'm so embarrassed. I'm saying you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. Even if you don't speak with your voice, you can email that thing. You can text it. Or you can call in. We're here to help you so you don't have to wrestle with situations and issues. If you read this passage of scriptures before, Jacob began to wrestle with the man, which is, we say, the angel. He also was wrestling with a situation that he was dealing with because of how he treated his brother, Esau. And if you know the testimony, because remember I said the Bible don't have stories in them. Stories is Jack and Jill, Humpty Dumpty, the little red hen. Those are stories. But the Bible is truth, and it's yea, and it's amen. So the testimonies of the Lord are sure. And this testimony was left here to show us that even in a rough, tough situation, you may have left, years and years may have been passed, you two haven't spoken or somebody haven't spoken to you, don't have to be a relative, it could be whoever. When you get before the Lord, he was having issues. Jacob was having issues. He went through some things before he decided that he was going to go back home and make it right with his brother. But he was afraid. Fear had gripped him also. But the Lord, when you continue to read this testimony, even though he was stricken in the hollow of his thigh, he told him, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Hey, the breaking of dawn was about to come. Sometimes we be holding on, holding on, holding on. And it seems like you're not getting anywhere. But trust me, when you put your whole faith and confidence, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and in due season. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He will exalt you. You will get to the place where you need to be. So that is my word on today. It was short, power packed, I'm going to say. But that's what the Lord has given me to tell the listening audience this morning. Stop wrestling with that thing. Give it to him. Give it all to him. He's the only one can fix it anyway. He can fix it if you let him. So, that being said, amen. We're going to open up for questions and comments. Pastor Aaron? You still?
Amen. As much as say, you know, thank you just for bringing that word. Just now, appreciate this. I mean, even hearing that, it's true. There are some things that no matter what we are wrestling with, and I truly only God can fix it. So I thank God for that, even that being a simple reminder that truly there's nothing too hard for God. So even if it's trying to mend, you know, your relationship with your parents or parents trying to mend the relationship with your children, it takes some things may take a process, you know, but a diamond just doesn't come automatically, you know, clean cut. You know, some things are rough, but it will become a final product in due time. So just hold fast on what the Lord has promised, because God does not operate in the spirit of broken homes. You know what I'm saying? He goes into it and fixes the brokenness. God doesn't sit there and allow, you know, homes to be broken or run amok. You know, God is an advocate for family. You know, God, you know, so, you know, even, you know, you look into Leviticus, you know, the different statutes and standards that were set in Leviticus, how God was saying that, you know, as fathers, how we should be to our children, and mothers should be to our children. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, God already has principles. You know, we might live in a different time and different era, and, you know, we may have advanced in some areas, but what is that advancement costing us in the long run? You know, so we still have to understand that God's principles still remain. It doesn't matter what we do or how we feel about a situation, you know, even if we get offended. You know, a lot of us are really walking and living in the spirit of offense, but that does not change the mandate that God already has for his people. Amen. So I just wanted to express that. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over. Thank you, woman of God.
Man, that was good right there. All right, we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments this morning. Any from the block side, administrator?
No, ma'am. All lines are clear on the same.
Right. We're going to open up the floor on the conference line. Amen. You can start 6 your line and come right on in. Amen. You can, if you don't want to be audible, you can text 334-440-6152. 334-440-6152. So anyone on the conference line, make sure your line is unmuted. Amen. Anyone have a
good
comment?
Morning? Good morning. God bless you, Evangelist.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing just simply marvelous. How about yourself?
Doing well. I'm just glad to be able to hear the word that was that you brought forth, that the Lord gave you this morning. And my apostle has been talking about deliver me, and during a word study. And I was thinking about when David was in his situation with Bathsheba, and how, you know, it took someone to come to him. I think it was Nathan that came to him, mm-hmm. and revealed right. something to him, and he got upset. But then he realized, then it was revealed to him that it was him that was the person. And so sometimes it takes a person. Like Pastor Aaron was saying, some people walk around with a spirit of offense, you know, because sometimes God will bring it to your attention, you know, in a way that people that once you get exposed to it, it'll bring a different light, to give you a different perspective. And so I thank you that you allow God to use you in that setting, because sometimes people need to hear from a different perspective to know that they have to let go of something that is hindering them from moving in the things of God, hindering them and you know, from getting their total freedom and deliverance that they need. And then also it just helps sinners that don't know, you know, that they need him, that they need God to help them with through their situation. To get them out of it, they have to first, for one, be real with themselves, and then two, they have to go to God and repent. And then God will start doing the process of delivering them out of it. And it's never an easy process, but once they let it go, they can receive that total freedom that they need. So,
right.
So I just want to thank God for what you shared today, because even us as Christians, we still have some things that we need to let go of, that God is constantly knocking on our hearts to say, to tell us, you need to let that go. You need to let that anger go. You need to let that unforgiveness go. You need to let that, you're watching too much stuff on TV. You need to let that go and spend more time with me. And so I just thank you for that.
Man, thank you, woman of God. Hallelujah. Anyone else have a comment? Star 6, your line, come right on in. I'm wrestling with that thing. I'm telling you, it can cause you to be handicapped. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just going to say not handicapped. Let me change that word, because it's now. It can start and cause you to be deformed. You won't be in the right in your life, because you're holding on to that thing. God says time to turn it loose. Let me have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey. He said, cast that thing on me. Don't wrestle with it. When you, even when you give to God, don't wrestle with it. And I can tell you from a testimony. And one of the, she said, give it. I heard one of the mother kept telling me, give that to, I said, what you, and I was really angry at that time too. I said, what they think I'm doing? I'm trying to give the situation that I'm going through. I thought I gave it to God. I thought. Notice what I said. I thought I had given it to God. But in reality, I had not, because I kept taking it back from him. I kept trying to do it my way. It doesn't work that way. Trust me. Glory, hallelujah. When we continue to try to do things our way, it's going to cause us, it's going to be, we're going to be crippled in the matter. And then I'm cool, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. Sometimes, we have to know. And we said he's a Dr. Jesus. He can fix it. But we don't really believe that. Because if we did, hallelujah, we wouldn't be wrestling with some stuff that he can fix if we let him. So I wanted to just say that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyone else have a question or comment this morning? Is this your opportunity? Make sure your phone is unmuted if you're not talking to yourself. I have done it many of times.
This is Wilkes.
Yes.
Why is it so hard for us to let it go?
Oh, mercy. One of the things is, I believe, is selfishness. I really do believe that, because we want stuff to be designed a certain way, or we want it to happen a certain way, so we feel that. And it's, and another thing is trust. If I do this, then can I trust that it's going to get done? That's part of the selfishness that's coming, that's there. If I trust it, you know, we want to be self-sufficient. Ooh, Father, you just thank you, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, thank you. And so we have to trust you.
Yeah.
Trust. And if we don't have the confidence that somebody else can help. So that's the reason why it's so hard to let go. I'm going to put it to you this way. A woman of God told me once in my life, she said, we'll go to God with stuff, and we'll carry everything, and then we'll keep back part of it. That's the Ananias Sapphira spirit right there. We'll keep back part of it in our heart because we guard that thing because we don't trust. And I believe the word that rightly fits right here, it says, trust in the Lord. This is the key. With all, A-L-L, thine heart. Is that not the scripture? He said, trust in him. And so when we have that scripture, it's in him, that calls us to have some examinations with ourselves. Because when we say that we want to give the thing or we go to somebody for help, and sometimes even when we go to our friends and stuff for help, we only tell part of it. Come on. We only tell part of it because we want to see where we fishing. And when we fishing, then we get in trouble because we should, hallelujah, we should always let them get the whole picture and not part of the picture. Am I making sense?
Yes, ma'am.
We don't, that's that trust issue. And I'm telling you, we do more damage to ourselves because we holding back. It says, you know, like I said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here's the key. And lean, not N-O-T. And if you turn N-O-T around, it's ton, T-O-N. That's a ton of stuff that we not letting go. Unto thine own understanding. We can't not lean to our own understanding. That means the trust that we don't have and we don't want to give is causing some issues. And that's my take, woman of God. Did I kind of answer the question?
Oh, yes, you did. And, you know, you brought up another point, too, because I was thinking about in the New Testament where Jesus had was walking, was on the water, and he had Peter to walk out. And he was okay at one point, but then he looked down. He didn't keep his eyes on God. And as a result of that, he went down. But here's the thing. I think a lot of times when we trust God, but then it's sometimes when we get distracted, when something, like you said, when something doesn't go our way, or when we allow other distractions to get in our way to keep our eyes focused off of the one that is able to deliver us, to keep us out of that state that we can't trust him. And so, I don't know, it's just so much thinking about that whole subject right there. There's so much that you can pull from it. So I just thank you.
You're welcome, Evangelist. Amen. appreciate the question this morning because it helps us. Oh, God, hallelujah. It helps, oh, my God, hallelujah. It helps us to not live in what I call a fantasy world. This is real. This is live. This is not fake. This is not fake. And when we live in a live world and allow a live God do the miracles inside of us, and believe it or not, when God removes hurt and pain and confusion and fear, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. Why? Because those type of things, come on now, the stuff we wrestle with, and we don't want to cast those things upon us. So when it's gone and we are set free, whom the Son is set free is free indeed. When we set free from those things that we're wrestling with, my God, hallelujah, these signs shall follow them that believe. We only look at healing just as the totem grow back, or the eyes was blind and they now open. But there's healing, hallelujah. The signs that follow them that believe, healing, deliverance. Those are miracles. As simple as we may make them, they're extraordinary to God. And why are they extraordinary to God? Because we're a horrible wreck and do a rework, reconstruction, and get us back on the straight and narrow way. I'm saying a lot right now, hallelujah. I feel like a rocket ship about to take off, hallelujah. Because my cup is overflowing, overflowing, overflowing. And this these downloads that God keep getting, keep moving. Hallelujah. So just as lava comes out of a volcano, so can the joy of the Lord come out of a vessel that is allowing God to flow. Amen. Anyone else with a question or comment?
I'm back again.
Come on. I'm on call.
So I just had this image, and I remember seeing this on Facebook where there was a depiction of Jesus and a little girl, and she had a little teddy bear. And the Lord wanted her, well, the picture showed where the image wanted her to give the teddy bear to him. It was a little small thing because behind him, he had something a lot bigger. And so that image came to my mind because it's a reminder that, excuse me, my alarm went off. It's a reminder that your issue may seem, it may be big in your eyes because, you know, maybe that little girl or that little boy that's on the inside stating, I don't want to let go of my teddy bear. I don't want to let go of this particular thing. You know, not knowing that what's behind what God has for you is much bigger and much better for you. And so I just want to encourage those that are on this line today that in spite of if it's a small thing, it could be just a turning of the neck, you know, or the snapping of your finger, you know, or the rolling of your eyes, something that God wants you to let go of, some type of attitude. It could be, you know, it could be a relationship. It could be anything that God wants you to let go of. But don't be afraid because what he has for you is greater and more, is far more his name brand, because probably most likely the things that you have is generic. It's something that was passed down from generation to generation that God wants you to let go of. So just let it go and allow him to give you the best gift that he can give you, which is freedom.
And Evangelist, you just said something. While you was talking about that teddy bear,
mm-hmm.
I got the image of comfort. Yes. So hold on to comfort. Woo, glory, hallelujah, my God. They want to hold on to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, teddy bear don't, it's soft. It's cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
It don't bring pain. It don't bring, they want to hold on to that comfort. That issue can become a comfort. Come on, somebody.
My God. And you know what, too?
Come on.
And you know how I was talking about how Jesus had his disciples to go back into the boat and cross over. It's in Matthew 14, and you know they were left alone. All the disciples were left. You know, they left him alone so where he could go and pray. But in the meanwhile, you know, it talks how when they saw him walking on water, they were terrified. But he said to them, you know, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. And a lot of times when we're in those situations where it rises up in us, you know, where we're tempted to be fearful or we run right back to that particular sin, you know, God wants us to walk out on water. And don't take your eyes off of him, because in that process, you will sink, you know, but he is there to catch you. Every time you fall, when you cry out to him, he is the only one that can deliver you. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not anybody else that can deliver you but him. And so once we cast our cares upon him and we look to the hills from which cometh our help, when we gaze our eyes upon him and him only and allow his word to do the cutting and to removing and him breaking us up to be, you know, the clay that we are, because we're made of dirt anyway, you know, he can shape us and mold us into the image, in his own image that he's already designed for us, because he already knew the plans that he had for us. So sometimes that one particular thing, or it could be several things that he wants us to let go, you know. And think about this too, Evangelist. Once you get delivered from one thing, here comes another thing, you know. So we also got to be, I think people have perceived being a living for God or being a believer that it's all hunky-dory. It is not. It is not given to the swift or to the strong, but they that endure is the ones that will see the results of what God is doing. And there is good, there's always good when it comes to living for God. But I think the religious side has showed that it's all flowers, you know, but there's never, you get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They don't ever tell you how to get delivered on the inside, the stuff that's on the inside of us that God is dealing with, that wants us to deal with. And in order for us to deal with that, we got to block out that religion stuff and have that relationship with him so that he can really do what he needs to do in us.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I felt like I was going on a tangent. I'm sorry.
If you know...
And now I got to get ready for work.
this thing is real. And if we listen closely to what the Spirit of God is telling us. This is the hour. And, Lord, y'all forgive me right now, because I might hurt your ears. But this is like a little altar call for all of us. He said, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, and he will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him just now. Not later. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust you just now. And if you believe that, been wrestling with this thing. Hallelujah. God will deliver. He said, the day you seek me with your whole heart, that's the day you're going to find him. We don't find him when we're wrestling with some stuff. We don't find him when we're trying to hold back and keep it. But we find him, hallelujah, when we allow him to do what he needs to do, get us in shape. And I believe, hallelujah, that God, in his intimate wisdom, has spoken to us in a manner that we probably would never, would have thought, that was different. But we have to understand his ways is not our ways. This may be a different blog today. May not be the way that we normally go. But we want to. So Pastor Aaron, come on back in. We got a little bit more time, about 14 more minutes, amen, before the top of the hour. Amen.
Amen. But I was listening to you and the woman of God talk, and, you know, one thing that I did express, of course, is about, you know, we have to, that's true, we have to come out of that religious mindset, because my thing is, you know, as people, if we taught based on solely religion, a lot of us would really be messed up and mixed up and confused, because you got to think about it. There are so many religions all over the world, and everybody is fighting to see who's right and who's wrong and which religion, you know, supersedes that, you know. So it's good that, you know, that she mentioned coming out of the religious mindset, even down to, you know, denominations, you know, because, you know, certain principles or certain disciplines or, you know, advocated more than others, you know. But, you know, because God was dealing with me that, dealing with me about that, you know, yesterday as well, you know, which I'm not a person that I just teach, you know, about religious stuff, but God was like, you know, sharing with me about the, you know, don't ever fall into a religious mindset. Because like the woman of God just said, that is a dangerous place to be in, because, you know, People will assume because you're saved, the devil don't come to your doorstep. Or even assume that if you are a religious leader, that you don't have domestic problems or that the enemy don't try different methods of attacking. See, the only saving grace is that God has sent his Holy Spirit, which is our help, to keep us aware and informed in the heavenly about how to keep ourselves guarded. You know, just because I might not cry and look beat down and broken doesn't mean that I'm not dealing with outside things. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, God was, you know, sharing me again, like I said, yesterday evening, you know, don't ever get caught up in religion. Because, you know, people, we're learning now that people are even creating their own religions now. I mean, which we call a cult. But people are really making up stuff to back up their belief at that, whatever their belief is, you know, because some people believe it, you know. I know you heard them cults that they believe that, you know, they get together, wear them jumpsuits or tracksuits, whatever, they dress all, you know, strange, and they drink punch with poison in it, and they're supposed to all go to this heaven-like realm or go to this utopia or something like that, you know what I'm saying? But you got people who, you know, come up and make up all kind of stuff. So I would say that I agree, coming out of that religious mindset is great. I would say even, you know, with us who are, you know, Christians, because again, even with us being with Christianity, there's different denominations, you know, there are different things. But see, Christ wasn't teaching, he never taught about denominations. You know, he taught, you know, compassion. He taught doing the Father's business, you know, and he most definitely encouraged us to supersede him. He wasn't saying, you know, y'all can't ever, you know, progress past, you know, go further than I have. Because we got to remember, I think I believe it was Jesus was, what, 30? When he took on ministry and did it for, what, 3 years? You know, please correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know what I'm saying? You know, so Jesus was encouraging, even down to when he told the disciples, you know, suffer not the little children. You know, let them come close, because the earlier they start, you know, the more they can do. You know, I'm 25. You know, I'll be 26, you know, come November. And I would never have believed that I would be in a place in God of which I am now, especially as a pastor. You know, I even as going out and doing ministry. I grew up doing ministry, but I did not believe that I would be a person that would go and spearhead ministry. But I'm looking at the need. So Jesus was a person that he looked at the need. Not only that he fed the people naturally, he went and fed the people spiritually. And he didn't make it about himself. He solely talked about the Father. And he addressed the people from their perspective. He made them aware of their present situation. Now, it wasn't a matter of bashing them or making them feel bad. But, you know, even down to the lame, he told them to get up. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we ought to be. You know, let's not stay focused on our current situation, on our current problem. You know what I'm saying? Because God doesn't wish for any of us to suffer or go through things. But it takes, and I said it earlier, outside interference, even if that's God himself to intervene and show you that, look, I did not create you to lay in this mess. You know, I want to encourage people that, you know, your spirit is clean. You know what I'm saying? People may, you know, we may wrestle against spiritual things, and we may have met, you know, seen people, you know, be met with unclean spirits, but that unclean spirit is not your spirit. That's the spirit you're wrestling with. You know, God was talking to me about this morning, you know, reminding me, you know, your spirit is clean, but your mindset, if your mindset is nasty, and if you have, you know, junk and mess in your heart, that's going to stifle your spirit. It's not going to make your spirit unclean, but it's going to you know, cause roadblocks. You know what I'm saying? It's going to cause things to, you know, stagnate. You won't be able to go much further. But, you know, so I do want to encourage that, you know, ever think that you yourself are dirty, you're filthy. It's according. You got to most definitely come out of that mindset. You know, even if it means, you know, I say changing up your belief, meaning not jumping into a whole different religion or getting into stuff that you ain't got no business getting to. I'm saying as in increasing your belief that God can make a way for you. Anything that you're set out to do, that it's already taken care of. A lot of questions and stuff that we, you know, I want to make this point before I turn it back over, but a lot of things that we ask God for, we already have it in us. So, like you said, you want to have patience. God's going to put you in a situation where it's going to test your patience. You know, what's the point of me giving you something that you already have? You already got it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? You want to say you want to come out of that anger spirit. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, you want to go to anger management class and stuff like that. That's cool. That's cool, too. You want to talk to people and try to work it out. And, of course, you can fast and pray. But God is going to put you in a situation where, you know, even if it's your family, you know, or friends or supervisors, they might flat out cuss you out. You know what I'm saying? But notice that God is going to keep something. Now, they won't lay a hand on you. You know what I'm saying? So God will put you in a situation to see how much self-control you have. And then, you know, it might hurt. It might feel, you know, different. But it'll pretty much, you know, it'll help you get through. That'll be the test. You'll pretty much be tested on the things you ask for, you know, even down to finances. God might tell you to sow something, and you be like, well, I ain't got much money. But God say, no, sow that. And it could be that same day that return comes. So understand that even the things that you ask God for, you got to understand a lot of things you already have, but you gotta really hold on to that belief that it's already there. You're already happy. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Dr. Wilkes.
Well, we certainly thank and praise God for this morning. Again, young people that are listening in, I thank you for just giving of your time, especially you youth, to get up early in the morning to come to hear what is being said on this morning. We don't want to ever take it for granted that God is in control and whatever way that he wants. Remember, first Friday of every month, this is your Friday. This is your day. It's the national holiday for you. Every Friday. Amen. So this is all about you. We want the youth leaders and the youth to come. Feel free to be transparent. Ask your questions. We're here to certainly help you with the things that you may be going through or to help you to better understand this walk in Christ. So please, please, please take the time to do that. And I'm going to pray, and certainly we want to give ample time for administrators to adjust herself since she has to go to work. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to get to work because I'm getting ready to go on vacation. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I'm working so hard. Even though I work from home, still, I have a lot of important tasks that I do on a daily. And it caused my mind to have to really, really, really get into that. So if you have questions or comments and you didn't get a chance to get your comment in, make sure the next time, hallelujah, we open up the floor that you'll be able to come right on in. And on tomorrow morning, the Lord say the same. Please tune in at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time for the Marriage Forum with our very own Apostle Maurice Simmons and Prophetess Eugenia Simmons. Amen. You, well, the word, they may have a special guest, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it's the marriage. You don't have to be married to tune in. Hallelujah. But something that can be said that will bless your very soul. And again, I want to thank you for all the prayers, the birthday wishes, the anniversary wishes. Hallelujah. Because I know had it not been for God, I would be where I'm at today. And I thank him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on this morning. Oh, God, that you have allowed us to come once again before your throne. We thank you for the callers and the listeners that are far and near. And, God, we know, hallelujah, because your word has declared unto us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, God, hallelujah, whatever word that was spoken on this morning, they may not be right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That, oh God, when the time has come, that they would take out of their spiritual preserve cabinet and, oh God, begin to glean from the word that has been spoken that will help feed them in the hour of their despair when they're down. Lord, bring that word to life, oh God, that it will sustain them and bring them, give them substance and hope, oh God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will rebuke the hand of the devourer that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, whether they be young, middle-aged, or senior alike. Lord God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Cause your people to prosper in every manner, oh God, naturally and spiritually, according to thy will. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you cover us all. Lord God, wherever we go to and fro, Lord, bless us going out and bless us coming in. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. Now, if there's someone, oh God, that don't know you in the power of your resurrection power and your saving virtue, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will continue to prick their hearts, that they will have a desire to give their life over to you, that they can be saved, oh God, repent and turn from their ways and be born of the water and of the Spirit. We give you glory, honor, and praise in the magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, people, go in the grace and strength of the Lord. And until we meet again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning. God says the same. God bless you. Administrator is in your hands.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrate
your
down.
Reigning now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me. Your name, your rule.